This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello everyone, thanks for joining the To Hull and Back podcast, proudly sponsored by Six Yards Out and All Too Logical Bar. I'm your host, Nathaniel Whittingham, and tonight I'm joined by two regulars, Tom and Ant. So, of course, last few episodes I was complaining we haven't scored a goal, but we scored two the other night on Friday, so I assume both of you are absolutely chuffed with that.
Yeah, about time.
Much more confident now, yeah.
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful. Well, yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, we'll just get right into it. We defeated the Sky Curse again. I was just finding the stats for that. We've only won 5 in 27 now, but it would have been 4 in 26 beforehand. So the Sky Curse, you know, maybe we're getting better with that. And a very surprising win, considering the first 20 minutes was really dire. So Tom, I'll go to you first. 2-0 win against West Brom. That must be, you know, a solid thing to be happy about tonight.
Yeah, a very flattering result, I think, on the basis of the performance overall. I think first 25 minutes, I don't think we had a touch in their half. We could have easily been 3 goals down, but, you know, credit to Darlow coming in. He kept us in the game first half an hour, and that sort of quality you bring in from the Premier League. You know, sometimes you need to be bailed out by your keeper. I also felt in the first 25 minutes, Benjamin Tetteh was one of the only outfield players that could hold his head high. Every time he got the ball, he looked to make something happen. You know, unlike Oscar, he was getting the ball to feet and laying it off to a player, and he was really causing them problems. You know, on the rare time we did get into their half, and obviously, you know, the goal that he scored was, you know, perhaps one of our best of the season so far. The way he took it, I mean, you know, left foot on his weaker foot, top right corner. Yeah. It don't get much better than that. You know what I mean? Score your first goal as well.
Yeah. So. I remember scoring one exactly like that many years ago. We lost the game, but it went right between the post and where the bar meet. And that's basically what Tetteh did. So it reminded me of my good old days. I mean, a lot of people said that the lineup was a strange one before, you know, the kickoff. And initially, the first 20 minutes, I think, probably proved that. And then Slater went down with an injury. Got back up again, but Rossini did some tactical switches. So, you know, how bad was the first 20 minutes and how do you think it changed with that switch?
Yeah, it was really bad the first 20 minutes. I thought it was going to be one of those games where we're going to get two or three put past us. We just couldn't get a foot on the ball at all. I think I put a message in our group saying I think we had about 5% possession or something like that, and that's probably heading the ball away or something. Yeah. They were in full control for the first 20 minutes. They were passing it around us for fun. The press didn't seem to be working. It was disorganised, and they were pressing in ones rather than as a team. Now, I think that the eyebrows are raised at the team selection because, you know, you've got wingers on the... Oscar was dropped, obviously, top scorer, but hasn't scored for a few games, so maybe justified. Playing Slater out wide. I know I'm not a big fan of him playing out wide, because as much as you get 90 minutes of graft from him, he's not really a wide player, so he's a lot better in the middle. I think we waste a bit of Slater when he's out there. But like Rosinha said, he tried to match them in a, because they drop into it, they become a back three when they've got the ball, and he wanted to try and set up in a way that countered that, so we could press them and keep put pressure on them. But he admitted that maybe Tete is not up to the standard at the minute, where, you know, he's not used to this style of pressing, especially not on his own. Mm. So the breaking player, when they got the team together at the touchline, he switched things about, moved Slater central. And when they were pressing, it was Slater and Tete pressing together up top. And it obviously caused them a lot more problems. And we actually looked a bit more organised in that way. Mm. It helped us get that foothold in the game. And like we say, Tete's goal sort of was the game changer. I thought from that point onwards for the first half, we were much the better side, considering the first 20 minutes were abysmal. And then second half, it were a bit even. You know, they obviously were ultimately going to throw the kitchen sink at us after the second goal. But we held strong, which we've been proving under Rosinha we can do. And yeah, the defence were fantastic. And I thought Darlow for his home debut was brilliant. I think one point that a lot of people maybe wanted Darlow in for was his distribution was perhaps better than Ingram. And I'd not really seen Darlow play, so I couldn't really say that he was better than Ingram in a distribution sense, but some of the passes he made in that game were, I mean, there was one where he played a crossfield pass to Elder and it sort of curled around a West Brom player, and he was able to just take it in his stride and run up the pitch. So I think that sort of quality that he brings is why we wanted to bring him in, and it'll be exciting to see if he can continue that kind of form for the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think I'd agree with all of that. I guess if you bring in a Premier League goalkeeper, he's been in training with some of the best players, not just other goalkeepers, but, you know, maybe he's learned a few things off when Shelvey was at Newcastle or that sort of thing, or, you know, some of the better players they've got at the moment, maybe Bruno Guimaraes or something like that. I mean, of course, the goal came from Tete and Slater pressing, didn't it? You know, West Brom had to clear the ball up, Elder had a head of a minute, transpired, and, you know, goals change games. I know these Sky Sports pundits were sort of struggling with defining, because it wasn't a game of two halves, it's more of a half of two quarters, I think they called it. So yeah, that goal was really important. Of course, you mentioned Oscar hasn't scored in a long time, maybe 7 or 8 games. I guess obviously we should, you know, have Tete in for the next game. Having someone who can hold the ball up, I think, is extremely important, because I don't think Oscar's even that good of it, good at that. So, Tom, just how important was it to have, as you mentioned, he was one of the few players that was playing well for the first 20 minutes?
Yeah, because I think with Oscar, he's played a lot of football this season, and I think it's been telling in recent weeks. And I think it's Oscar, you can never fault his pressing and his work rate, but when it's not backed up by the other players, it's sort of, you know, it's not really effective. As you saw in the first sort of half an hour, Tete was pressing, and, you know, the rest of the team weren't sort of on the same wavelength. But like I touched on there, like once we changed it and put Slater central, I think that sort of galvanised the team, was able to press higher and sort of cause more problems. But I think, yeah, it's very important to sort of have that player that we can bring off the bench in Oscar. But obviously, you know, Tete is coming to the team. I think, you know, he's shown what he can do now centrally. So I think obviously at the start of the season was playing him out wide because, you know, Oscar was scoring loads of goals. But I think in terms of, you know, what Tete's shown now since he's come back from suspension is that, you know, he's a great striker. I think, you know, I think we can't really drop him for the next game now. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, going forward, it's crucial to how we play. And I think Oscar will have to sort of bide his time to get back in. But, you know, maybe this rest will do Oscar a world of good. And we've also seen that them two can probably play together as well, but it's just about getting sort of the right mould. And, you know, yet to see the best that, you know, out of some of our players like Malcolm, you know, and we've got Aliyah to come back. So it'll be interesting to see how we sort of set up when we've got a lot of options, you know, in the forward line.
He scores. I think the thing with Oscar is he seems like he's going to be a striker, isn't he, that scores in patches. You have those strikers who don't score consistently throughout the season, but will score for like 6 games in a row and then not score for 10, and then score for another 6 in a row and not score. Yeah, I think Oscar's going to be one of those like players.
One in two or one in three games. But I think if you told me the start of the season, but he's on like 12 goals now, I think you'd have taken that. It's just how we'll have come, because I think he scored in his first 6, he scored like 7 goals. So it feels like he's not scored that many since that sort of, you know, purple patch at the start of the season. But I think it's the way I think Rossini wants to play, that maybe where, you know, Oscar gets let down in that sense. because Oscar's that sort of striker that feeds off the service, whereas we like to play with like sometimes inverted wingers, so you don't get the service into the box. But
it gives us options as well, though, doesn't it? Because you've got Tete, you've got Oscar now, you've got which we didn't have earlier on in the season. I would say one of our biggest Achilles heels is putting the ball in the back of the net. Like we've got the third best defense in the league since Rosini has come in. If we'd have scored like one goal in majority of the games we've had, we'd be in the top six. So we've got to find a way to put the ball in the back of the net. And when you're playing, obviously Oscar was the only real striker we had at the time. And when he gets to a point where, you know, the service is either lacking or the players behind him aren't creating him enough, and then he's not scoring goals, the team struggles to score goals. So now that Tete is in and proven what he can do in terms of being a focal point and holding the ball up, you've now got an added string to your bow where, you know, if Tete is not working out and you want to be a bit more direct and get in the faces and press, you've got Oscar there now for the, you know, last 15 minutes of the game, or a team where you want to harass him a bit more, you start with him. There's options now, which is a good thing.
Yeah, and of course we saw just the the boost in Oscar's performances along with Connolly, and he hadn't scored in a long time. I guess the previous time he'd had a bit of difficulty when he missed a penalty against Sunderland. He scored in his next four, so maybe when Oscar does come back into the team, he's obviously got a point to prove, because he's definitely been dropped. It wasn't a fitness thing, I don't think. So dropping him for Tete, hopefully that'll motivate Oscar to think, well, I have only scored a few goals since that, glut in the first part of the season. Really need to improve on that sort of thing. And we just saw how important, it's always important for a striker to get his first goal, whether it's the first game or months later. But it was just so important to him, I think, especially the emotion of losing his friend Christian Atsu in the earthquake. So you mentioned that in the press conference today. I think that was a really lovely moment for him. And hopefully we can see many more lovely moments with him scoring goals in the future. Are you going to jump in, Tom?
I think with Tete as well, that I think it was great management from Rossini, because you look at, from an outsider's perspective, other teams in this division will be seeing Oscar, look, he's our top scorer, one of the top scorers in the Championship. Rossini's gone there, obviously took him out, and people probably thinking, oh, why is he doing that? But obviously there's a reason for that. He's not been on form recently, and it obviously takes a sort of strong manager to sort of drop your top scorer. I think it's come at the right time as well for Oscar, just to have a little bit of a rest, a bit of a break, recharge, and then hopefully come back into the team firing.
Definitely agree with that. I mean, of course, Oscar, he just scores in those bunches, and it's difficult. He hasn't really scored any as Ian said, they're really difficult goals. It's just those ones in the 6-yard box. So hopefully we do see the best of him again quite soon. Is there anything else to mention about against West Brom? I was going to say, actually, you reminded me, of course, Rossini's management was really positive. I guess having that plan B, that we had to change even 20 minutes into a game. I know McCann's been discussed a fair bit. He's perhaps going to be the manager of Oxford and going to be managing Tyler Smith and Brendan Fleming again. But McCann, one of the things we said about him was that he didn't have a plan B. But clearly, Rossini, even young into his managerial careers, he's not got too much pride to, if he sees that we're not playing very well, he is going to change it. So, Ant, do you think that's, one really positive, encouraging aspect we've got with Rossini?
Yeah, that was exactly what I was going to say. We've in the last few seasons, because even Avaladze never really changed anything. And I think it's important to get your substitutions right as well. And he's not going to get them right all the time, and they're not going to get your starting lineup right all the time. But like you say, under McCann, our problem was that every game we'd start with the same system, the same approach.
4-3-3.
Yeah, that would be it. And if it didn't work, then that was it. Because you'd make like-for-like changes and the system doesn't change. The opposition are just, used to how we play throughout that game now, and it's easy for them. Whereas Rossini has showed, because what makes a manager good is being able to adapt. So you have to treat every opposition differently. So it's like, I've been looking into Coventry, obviously we'll get onto Coventry later, but Mark Robbins is a manager. He sets up differently depending on what team he's facing. Sometimes they have two up front, sometimes he goes with one up front. You've got to have these different systems and the players to execute your tactical vision to obviously get the best out of the players that you've got. And Rossini is showing that. Like you say, he's very, very short into his managerial career, and he's showing that he's not He's not scared to drop your top striker for somebody who's not scored all season, come in and made an instant impact. He's not scared to change his system halfway through the game. You know, he's very honest. He holds his hands up when he says, you know, maybe I set up wrong and I changed it to do it this way. But that's what you want to see as a fan. He's taking, you know, responsibility for the decisions he's made and acts upon it, rather than, you know, coming out in the press and being a bit stubborn and saying that this is my way, get used to it kind of thing, which we got used to for a couple of years. This all bodes well for the future. And I'm just thinking, you know, next season, I know we got carried away this season with the amount of signings we made, and I don't think we'll make as many in the summer. It'll probably be a bit of a trimmer and get a couple in that Rosinha wants. But if this side gets the players that Rosinha really wants and it becomes his side, you know, and he knows exactly what each player offers and all the different systems he can use, you know, next season might be a far more positive one, building on what we've established this season under him already.
Yeah, the world's his oyster, I think, if he gets his own signings, because he's shown that he can adapt. You know, he's pragmatic with his decision-making as well. I think the way he sets us up, I think it's the right way to play. Ultimately, I think when he came into the team, he was questioning whether Hull City can play out the back of the players we've got. But I think he's shown there that he's brought McLaughlin into the team. Jones is now a mainstay. These two can both play with the ball at the feet at the back. He's not afraid to make the big decisions, like I said, there as well. He's dropped Greaves, who people see as our best centre-half, or the outsider set, and they think, oh, he's destined for a Premier League move. And I think there, that's, you know, it shows that I think when you bring a style like that into the club, you know, like playing out from the back, I think, you know, we thought we didn't have the players, but I think Rossini's had that belief in his own players. And I think, you know, if we carry that belief on and sort of make the signings he wants, then who knows what we can achieve next season.
Yeah, I think I shared on the podcast account, I shared obviously second tier. They were talking about the kind of job that Rossini was doing. And I think we don't actually give Rossini enough credit for how much better we've been defensively since he's come in. I think we've kind of just gone, oh yeah, we've conceded.
It's the worst in England, I think.
21 places.
Our goal difference was nearly minus 20 or something like that when he came in. We had easily the worst defence in the league. We were conceding two or three a game. And, you know, for somebody who's not been in management, really, to come in and make an instant turnaround to go from the worst defence in the league to the third best in the same amount of games with pretty much the same players, only changing one or two players, just shows, you know, how he's been in training, how he gets his point across to the players, how he man manages, how he gets his system across. He obviously has done amazing, and I think we should probably be a bit more wax lyrical about how good we've been, because it was their faces on the video, how surprised they were about, you know, 9 goals or something we've conceded since he's come in, which is mad.
Who was it that commented very early on when, just and maybe when we'd won against Wigan or Birmingham, perhaps, that Rossinha could be a future England manager? I mean, you know, maybe that's how good we should be, you know.
Everyone's
going to
start somewhere.
Well, indeed. Yeah. You know, I wouldn't mind the England manager, if we're getting dominated by Germany or whoever, changing the system in 20 minutes and going on to win the World Cup. I wouldn't mind that at all. But of course, I'd rather he, you know, got us promoted first.
I think as a fan, when your club appoints a manager, you want to be able to look at that manager and say, I can see him being in charge of us for the next 4 or 5 years. Like, you want long-term management, stability, and identity.
Not Watford.
You know, yeah, definitely not Watford. But with Rossinha, like, as I sit here now, I can see him being here for a long time. And there's people commenting saying if we're not challenging top six later on in the season, he might be under, you know, pressure. I don't think he is. I think
no chance.
No, not a chance. But the thing is with Rossinha, like, with how he is, how he loves the city, how he is with the players, what he's shown, he's probably going to be even more on more radars of, you know, bigger clubs that are looking down the line at replacements at some point. They'll be taking note of his progress as manager of this club.
Oh, but he's rubbish then, for a while. If anyone's listening. He's absolute garbage, yeah. Oh. Have McCann instead. It's really positive, isn't it?
Yeah, there's another one more player that can sort of hold his head high after the performance, probably Louis Coyle. I think he's a player that come under a lot of scrutiny in his time at the club. Well, certainly since, you know, we got promoted to the Championship, but I think he showed, like, in that performance that, you know, heart and, you know, passion can set you a long way, whereas we're not seeing that recently with Christie. I think his performance has been quite low in the past few weeks. You know, since that his goal against Cardiff, he's not really hit the heights. But I think with Louis Coyle, he's always someone that's going to play 110%. And you know, he's not necessarily got the quality, but I think he's someone that, you know, wears that on his sleeve, and you need them sort of players in your team. And you know, I think now, you know, he's took his chance, I guess, you know, in Christie's absence. But it's, you know, be interesting to see if, you know, Christie comes straight back into the team, you know, once he's back, you know, from his injury. So, but I think, yeah, Louis Coyle, I was quite impressed with his performance, to be honest.
Elder as well.
Yeah, I was just going to say, a team with Elder, Longman, Coyle, and then Teto, who's not scored all season, and Simons, who's come in for Seri, who's obviously one of our best players. I think that just shows maybe Rossini is able to improve these players that we have. These players have come under a lot of criticism, but the fact they can, you know, buy into the system and just have that grit and determination, which is sometimes all you need. And, you know, didn't have a lot of the ball against West Brom, especially in the first half. You know, sometimes that's what you need to get points in the Championship. And we're a strong, solid team, which we weren't under Arthur Ladser, and, you know, weren't under McCann for a fair bit. So, yeah, I mean, he's improved us in pretty much every way, except perhaps, as Ant said, goal scoring. I guess, speaking of goal scoring, one thing which would have been really lovely for McLaughlin to be, you know, rewarded with a goal. Unfortunately, it looks like it's going to go down as an own goal. But I think, I can't remember who it was, but someone recently said our corners have been pretty rubbish. So to score from a corner, you know, once in a while, that's also a positive. Yeah, so, yeah,
I think as soon as we get a corner, we don't really have much hope, do we?
So well, I think it was probably when I went to the Preston game and I was with my friend, and we absolutely hate Tufan on corners because usually his are absolutely, you know, woeful, but it was right into the right spot. And, you know, so good that even the West Brom defender couldn't get out of the way. And it went into the net, and that was a big goal to sort of... I wasn't really able to celebrate it. I was spent the whole second half trying to get the Wi-Fi to work. So I listened to, like, 5 minutes of the game and watched a different 5 minutes. It was a very annoying time, but a really great 3 points. And finally, we got some goals. So get some more positive news. Seri and Pelkas have been in training all week. And Christian Woods are also back on the grass, and Koval apparently is also making a quicker recovery, but he won't be back this season. So we have this part of the podcast every week. Oh, isn't it good that we've got some players coming back from injury? I mean, who's going to get injured next? We should just do Hull City injury bingo, because it looked like Tete, he was in a boot brace, wasn't he? So, yeah, but it's never going to be Longman. He's always fine, unfortunately, for everyone else.
I think he's being a bit more cautious now when he's bringing players back. The players that are injured don't tend to be the ones who have just come back from injury. They tend to be ones that were already in the side. Like, I think Aliyah was the last one to come back and then go straight back out, wasn't he? But
it's nice to see Aliyah back as well.
Yeah.
Friday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he looked full of energy towards the end of the game, because it was more of a defensive role that he was having to play, press from the front kind of thing, wasn't it? But yeah, I think Ruzzy, I mean, he says it pretty much now. It seems to be a mainstay line in most of his press conferences. We're not going to bring him back too quickly. I think he learned from, obviously, bringing Aliyah on against Wigan, that starting, when he started against them and went straight back off injured, I think he's probably going to be a bit more hesitant to bring him on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, yeah, he has said that so many times. And I think, given the absolutely atrocious injury record that we have, and Shep's talked about the article about the pitch and maybe looking at that. And I think that's an easy thing to say, or the pitch isn't very good. That's why the training pitch, that's why we have so many injuries.
But,
yeah, it's the rugby team's fault. I was just talking to the commentary fan, and he said the exact same thing. They had the issue with the poor rugby pitch, you know, what it done in the Commonwealth Games at the start of the season. You know, I don't want to offend all the rugby fans listening, but it's not ideal, I guess. Certainly not the best thing. But yeah, I think it's just we signed a lot of foreign players who weren't used to the league, and signed a lot of players that were injured already. You know, Salah and Traore and Ebiwe. Just, you know, maybe if we'd stop signing people who we knew were already injured, we'd probably have a bit of a better injury record, and a cynic as well. So, I mean, hopefully we're getting a little bit better with the injuries and lots more players coming back. But I think until you have that trimming summer transfer window, as Ant mentioned, before we're going to still have a lot to the end of the season. Is there anything else to mention about West Brom, or shall we move on to another tough game against Coventry City?
I'll give a shout out to Tigers Trust if there's anyone watching them. Obviously, my eldest was a mascot for the day, and it was absolutely brilliant. Like, it was, she had the time of life. I thought she'd be overwhelmed, but the staff are so good with all the kids. So, if there's anyone watching who's ever contemplating making your kid a mascot of the match day, do it. It's great.
Yeah, really another good person that got a picture of Longman before, Nathaniel, I think, as well, wasn't it?
Well, I didn't get a picture.
I'm not jealous.
I was in the same room as him as he autographed, gave autographs to the mascots. I didn't get a picture with him. I got a picture of those on, though. That was a must. That was my aim of the night, because I needed one, a selfie just to compare. And I don't look anything like him, so you're all wrong.
Yeah.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Well, maybe if I've got 5 minutes, I'll put it on towards the end of the show, but I'm so poorly prepared, I don't have that. I've got some other exciting images to show you regarding the game at Coventry City last season.
And you can probably go on.
You can, well,
Jacob Greaves, goal line clearance, I imagine.
Yeah, I think you might be right with that. So, shall we just move straight on to it? Coventry City are eighth in the table and eighth in the home table, and that's always a relevant thing. How good are they away from home or at home? We're going to the CBS Arena. I think they've had, 10, 11 clean sheets there this season, and their defence is really good. Wilson, their goalkeeper, he's kept 17 clean sheets. Obviously, one of the best defensive teams in the league. So it's going to be a really tough test. So Tete got a goal. Tom, do you think he can repeat the same thing, or do you think it might be a very tight game with few goals in it against Coventry?
Yeah, I think we're certainly not that high on the scorers list, and obviously Coventry, tight defensively. So if you'd offer to be a 0-0 draw, I'd probably take it. But I think we'll get our confidence. We'll play on the front foot. But I think what impressed me about the West Brom game, was the fact that we could play on the counter attack. We didn't have to sort of dominate possession, and now we've got like Tete up front. He's got a bit of pace about him, strength. I think we can actually sit back because of our strong defence and sort of allow teams to come onto us and then hit them on the break. Whether Coventry will do that and sort of try and dominate is yet to be seen. But I think we've got it shows that we're quite versatile in terms of how we play. So I think I'd like us to sort of sit back a little bit and instead of trying to dominate and try and catch him on the breaks. I think that could be, what could win us the game.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really see it being anything other than 0-0. I think I've predicted that the last few games. And, our defence has been so good and theirs is so good. Of course, Viktor Gyökeres, the Swedish striker, he's a fantastic player, apparently. The fan, Ken, I spoke to from Sky Blue Fans TV yesterday. Check out the episode I did yesterday. It's on YouTube and everywhere. He said the ceiling is very high for that player, so he could be a danger. But then they got a fair few injuries in midfield, so it might be a game of little attacking quality and creativity. So, Ant, how do you see it going?
It's a weird one, isn't it? Because Coventry have got a lot of players out injured, yet they're still on fire. Obviously, they beat Huddersfield 4-0. I mean, Huddersfield is second bomb, so it's not, something that's beyond the realms of expectation. But it'll be a massive test for the partnership of Jones and Maka. I think facing someone like Gyökeres is going to be an interesting battle. I don't know, because with Coventry, I don't think they're really a side that want to have the ball too much. They're like us. They want to play, like we used to be, want to play on the counter. So I think it'll be one of those games where we probably have quite a bit of the ball. It's going to be a case of, who does he play? Does he keep the same team? I imagine he will, because we won. But he might have in mind Burnley on Tuesday, in midweek. So, it's... It'll definitely be a tight game. I can't see us getting absolutely tonked. Watch us lose 4-0 now, but I would definitely take a point. I think a point would be nice, but realistically, we don't. I mean, the playoffs are still technically within reach, but I think it's beyond us this season.
Well, we're not how long is down, that reach? So... 10 points. That's a long reach.
It's a long reach.
Inspector Gadget escalons.
That's the thing about the championship this season. All you need is like two or three good results in a row, and you're straight back in it, aren't you? So, but for me, I would just like us to see Rosie try and experiment, just try and see what this side can do, who can play where, just for the rest of the season, just, you know, pretty much find out everything you need to know about this side in a competitive sense, so that next season he knows who he needs to keep, who's going to be crucial to what we're doing. And if, hopefully just maybe just take your foot off the gas for a bit. No more pressure. We're not going to go down. And just enjoy, you know, it's a game. It's a game away at a team that are, you know, probably going to be in playoff contention for the rest of the season. Go out there and show them what you can do. You know, make a real statement. And you, like you say, Rosie was telling us before, why not dream? Go for it. That's what you're meant to do as fans. So if we can come away from Coventry with 3 points, you know, you've got Burnley then at home. We're really good at home at the minute. And then, you know, we all start getting carried away again, don't we?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know whether I'd get carried away. We'd probably still be 8 or 9 points off the playoffs, but it'd be nice to get a win there. Tom, do you think a win is likely at all? Because I really don't see it. I'm not sure. I mean, maybe Surrey would come back in, but if neither team is used to having the ball, do you think when it drops in the midfield, no one's going to challenge for it and they'll just stay there, you know, unmoved?
It's really hard to say. You know, I think against West Brom, we didn't play too well, to be honest. I think 2-0 flattered us, really. I think second half much improved. I think we had to be much improved from that game in order to get something out of the Coventry one, especially away from home. But it'll be a tough game, no doubt. Obviously, they're 8th place, you know, challenging for playoffs. So yeah, we don't expect to have an easy ride. But I think we do have the quality in attack now, you know, that can sort of hurt Coventry. You know, I think in terms of Tetty now, you know, maybe he's galvanised after that goal. Maybe he can nick one. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see how we sort of set up again. And, you know, probably we'll start with the same team, like, but yeah.
We need to start well, don't we? I think we've not started well in weeks. We start poorly and then kind of grow back into it.
Have to change. Yeah,
we need to start on the front foot, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, Tom, you mentioned not having an easy ride. It has been an easy ride to away games for a lot of people. Agent's been really good with the coaches, and Leeds commented that there's going to be another 30 coaches going to Coventry. But Ant, you mentioned that there was some controversy surrounding buying tickets for the coaches. So I haven't got a clue what this is all about, really. So why don't you take it away? Explain yourself.
Well, I wouldn't say it's just a divisive topic, obviously, online at the minute. I
mean, that's controversy. We want the vitriol. That's how we get the likes.
Adjun has obviously done the very nice gesture of pretty much giving us free travel for the rest of the season, if you can obviously use Tiger Travel. But they've just put a post out saying that now you can only get a Tiger Travel seat if you have a ticketed account. So I think I believe that means that you have to have bought the tickets to have the seat, so you can probably only buy the number of seats that correlates to how many tickets you've bought.
I thought that was already the case anyway, to be honest. All people
thought it would be.
Yeah, I assumed it would be, but I get the impression that they've done this. They must have done it because it was being taken advantage of. I don't know. Apparently, there's been trouble in some coaches. There has been some trouble in away games. So he's probably, you know, thinking we need to try and either find a way to identify who's doing what, or try and reduce that, because it would be a shame if we have, you know, such a nice gesture for everybody to go to away games to do, and you know, people either take advantage or ruin that. So if the club's doing it, you know, do it. I mean, there's a few people that aren't happy or can't understand why they're doing it, but like I said, at the end of the day, it's still free away travel. So if you're going, you just buy your ticket and you get your Tiger Travel. There's nothing really to complain about. End of the day, it's free. We've still got free travel. So you can't really complain, can you?
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess another thing to mention, of course, it was a lovely 2-0 win against Coventry around a similar time last season. So I've got some images to harken back to a really good moment. And of course, I'm not talking about the Greaves scoreline clearance. I'm talking about the fact that Longland scored an absolute worldy goal from a corner, volleyed in off the bar.
Which he actually did quite often that season.
He did. He did it about, well, you know, three or four times. And then here you go. Yeah. This is the iconic image. For audio listeners, sorry. But it's the Jacob Greaves blocking the goal with his back, like the back of his head, looking the other way. Commentary fans were absolutely livid that the goal hadn't been given, but goal line technology, of course, said that it hadn't gone in. I mentioned that to the commentary fan last night. Again, please watch the preview. And yeah, he wasn't best pleased about that one either. But that was a really great moment. It's a shame. I think Will had a power cut, so he's just in the pub at the moment. He's not able to remember because, of course, Jacob Greaves is, you know, he's his favourite player, I'd say. But, of course, my favourite player, Longmond, got a goal. So yeah, some good memories.
In relation to that as well, there was a Coventry fan on Twitter who was just had, like, the City fan base on strings, pretending to be a City fan, apologising to all Coventry players about this blatant cheating. He had the entire fan base on strings. It was quite funny. I mean, it's goal line technology, isn't it? It could be wrong.
Well, but I think goal line technology, since it came in...
The ball has to be over the line. So even a tiny bit of ball is on the line. It's not a goal. That's the law.
Yeah.
So,
of course, none of the ball was touching the line either. It was just overhung. You know, it was a really good moment. But
if it's against us, we'd probably be livid, to be fair. Let's be honest and see that.
But it wasn't. We'll enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly.
At least it wasn't a cup final or a really controversial, you know, a big game, a big important game. I guess, what else was I going to say? Well, Lee mentions that it was a great night on Monday evening, an evening with Liam Rossini at the Himkam Stadium. I didn't go. Did you go, Ant?
I didn't
go. So I guess we don't know what happened.
Everyone was saying good things online.
What?
Everyone was saying good things online about it, weren't
they? Oh, yeah. Marvellous. I mean, of course, we've waxed lyrical about Rossini. He always speaks very well in the interviews, and I think he's probably had a fair few sort of, I don't know, almost touchy subjects to talk about. He always comes across very sensible. So I'm sure there were some lovely stories. And of course, not only just great stories, of course, we were playing West Brom. That was maybe the only team they scored against for Hull. Some great stories, I'm sure, of his time managing and playing, you know, in perhaps the best Hull City team ever. Definitely, right, getting into Europe and the FA Cup final. So, of course, a great time. Now, I hope both of you were very excited because it's time for the best part of the podcast. It's the combined lineup. And I've gone 4-4-2 for this one. Yeah, so this is my most controversial so far. So Wilson is in goal.
Gustavo Hamer, left mid.
Well, okay, let me explain. Right. Okay. Wilson's in goal because he's got the most clean sheets as a goalkeeper this season. He's the commentary one. Bidwell, he's got a few assists at left back. McLaughlin and McFadden, you've got to have a hole and a commentary defender. Both teams are very good defensively. Right back, Christie's injured.
I agree with the defence, I'll give you that.
Yeah, Darbo, I can't put Coyle in. Darbo is fine, I guess. Slater, right wing, because wingers, I couldn't put Longman in because, you know, you'd lynch me. And then I guess Tufan and Suri midfield. I guess it's narrow, but Hamer's not supposed to be left mid. Perhaps you could put Tufan.
Put Hamer in the middle, you know, hold the midfield and put Slater in behind. But
yeah, I guess so.
Where's the commentary midfielders as well?
Gyökeres can probably play on the wing, and then, of course, has an opinion up front. I mean, these are very difficult because you can't put Tete up front, really. He's not really.
Why not?
Because he's only got the one goal. I don't really think that would work, you know, to say he's definitely better than Oscar.
But would you start him above Oscar against Coventry?
Yeah, I probably would start him. I guess he probably should be in the team. But, you know, these are really difficult. I did seriously consider putting Longman in because he's the only... Out of the two teams, he's the only recognised winger that like isn't injured or is playing. So really, he sort of would have to go in.
I'm actually very surprised you didn't mention about Longman's improved performance against West Brom because he actually got standing ovation. He went off the pitch at the East Stand, and as he walked around, the entire stadium stood up.
As they should, to be honest.
As they should, yeah.
Future Ballon d'Or winner deserves a bit more respect than he gets, I think. Played really well. Yeah, I mean, he really needs a goal.
He was pictured in Attic after the game as well, nightclub. So I may have got a picture of him at like 2 a.m.
Deservedly, you know, celebrating a good performance. Of course, I hadn't remembered this, but there's actually another game to look forward to. I haven't done a combined lineup for Burnley because it would just be 11 Burnley players. They have 76 points from 35 games. They're cantering towards a league title win. The only notes I've put are Burnley, good, top league, Wednesday. We're playing on Wednesday. So presumably we're just going to get thumped, right?
Let's have a bit of confidence then.
They're Burnley. Look, if Blackpool can get a draw against them, I think we could grind out a 0-0 perhaps. But yeah, I mean, it's on Sky. We did just beat West Brom on Sky, but, you know, all of the things are working against us, supernatural and statistical.
I know that obviously the quality they've got in the team, you know, but I think because we've seen them play that much, maybe that'll work in our favour, you know, maybe we can set up in a way that will make it harder for them to score. Yeah. I know that obviously Blackpool obviously got a point against them. And I think with the players that we've got on the break, why can't we just sit back, soak up a bit of pressure and hit them? But yeah, we probably expect to lose, but I reckon we will give them a good game.
Yeah, it'd be a big show of you know, how much Fossini's improved the team. I mean, of course, it's not like we got thumped under Arbeladze. He's probably one of the few managers to get a point at Burnley this season. I'm not sure if that's true. I don't know how good they are at home if they've lost a few games. But, you know, I think we probably should have been battered that in August. Was it like the third or the fourth game? Maybe the fourth game?
Yeah.
Aliar's last one before his big injury.
I think first half we played really well in that game as well. And obviously Aliar went off and it sort of fell apart a bit, but we managed to get a point. So.
Well, I mean, I'd definitely take another 1-1. Of course, you scored that night, Ant.
Yeah. You need to put this photo up because it's not true.
You talk for 5 minutes and I'll find it.
Like Tom said, it's a free hit. This team are clearly the best side in the league. They might as well put the C next to the name now. They're not going to get caught. It's one of these where it's the kind of game where I actually fancy us for something, because if you flip them in, so if you're a Burnley fan now, this is the kind of season where, and you'll get this with any of the top six sides. They hate playing sides in the bottom half at this point in the season because they're always harder games because people are usually, you know, either fighting for their lives or fighting to get into the top half. Yeah. And obviously, Burnley at some point, I mean, the thing is, you've just got to limit how many chances they have, because, they create so many chances because his company's incorporated his own Pep Guardiola tactical style.
The transformation has been incredible. You've gone from Sean Dyche ball, to sort of tiki-taka in the Championship.
They get about 70-80% possession every game. So, you know, they get to a point where they just create so many chances that they, even if they put 10% of them chances away, they've still won 3-0. So it's going to be the kind of game where you're going to need all 11 players absolutely on the ball from the first minute to the last. Organisation, attention, everything. You just got to be on the ball, aren't you? But if you can nick a goal and then you've got something to hold on to, you never know, do you? I mean, like we say, Blackpool got something from them and they've been awful in recent weeks. So whether or not that might inspire them to sort of pick their game up a bit against us, I don't know. But we've not got any pressure on us. Like I say, we're not going to go down. We're unlikely to get the top six. The players might be up for it, might fancy themselves testing them against what's probably the best players in the league.
I'm a bit scared of you saying we can't go down. We went down with 45 points a few years ago, and we were in a very good position then. So,
are you telling me that you're seeing the same from this side that you saw under?
No, of course not. I just don't think we should rule anything out. You know,
that capitulation's already been taken by QPR this season.
Well, I guess with the injuries, if everyone got injured, we'd be in a big trouble then. But Longman would score well, and we'd be fine on the final day. Nice 1-0 win.
Looting away, Luton, isn't it? I'm dancing around in my traffic cone again.
Keep talking. I'm still looking for the picture for the lovely viewers.
So, Burnley, they're a good team.
Yeah. It needs to be a bit more dynamic than that. Here we go. Just give me 2 minutes to save it. So,
It'll probably all depend on how we play against Coventry too. Hopefully, we've still got a bit of momentum to take into Burnley, a bit of confidence. But the fact we're 7 unbeaten at home and not really conceding at home either might be a good sign.
Mm-hmm. The form's definitely flipped, hasn't it?
Yeah, we are one of the best, obviously, performing teams in the league since Rossini's took over as well. So we have to remember that we're not, you know, obviously where we are on the table right now, mid table. Like if we was sort of pushing towards playoffs, we'd probably fancy ourselves more. But if the table was when Rossini took over, we probably would be, you know, probably around like 8th or something.
Isn't it frustrating though that we're either really good at home, an awful away, or really good away and awful at home?
Yeah, been like that the last few years, really.
Yeah, really strange.
Right, I'm just looking at the past 15 games against Burnley. We've won twice.
Burnley,
we're due a win then.
Always been a bogey.
But we've drawn three in a row against them. So obviously we drew first half of the season, and we drew both Premier League games as well. So.
When I had a season pass, Burnley at home always was the one game I contemplated not going to, because it would always...
Apart from Abel Hernandez when he scored that worldie.
Yeah.
1-3-0. Yeah. But
when we beat Burnley, we usually get promoted. was the correlation. We hammered them 3-0 at home, didn't we, under Brownie that season?
Was it a lovely Quinn outside of the boot ball goal against them in 2013 as well?
Yeah, and then 2008 won 2-0, that's when we got promoted. And then obviously Stephen Quinn 2013 and then 2015.
You heard it here first. We beat Burnley, we're going up.
Yeah. Well, I don't think we'll beat Burnley, so I think that's going to prove it's
they've got to lose at some point.
Valuable thing. Yeah, they do have to lose at some point, but I don't necessarily think they're going to lose to us on
the
sky.
Right.
Here's the image. There's Ant on the left there, and then our guy Ant, Tufan on the right. No, that's completely wrong, isn't it? But you know the joke I'm trying to do. They look the same. That didn't really work. Again, for listeners, sorry. But it was worth it. I guess the other thing to talk about is, I think we mentioned earlier, no changes to Coventry then. I think perhaps the only one you could really talk about is maybe Serien, because he's you know, such an important player. But who do you take out? Because, again, no one really deserves to be dropped. You know, maybe someone's got an injury and that will allow Seri to come in. But really, I think keep the same team. It would be certainly not.
Yeah, I don't think he'll chuck Siri straight into the starting 11. I think he'll come on in the second half. I think it would be harsh to drop Simons as well, because he's playing really well. I mean, if a fully fit Siri probably starts, because as harsh it would be to drop Simons, it's a very tough place to go. And, you know, it might do him good to have that little break in between and then come back in for Burnley or something like that. But it'd be interesting to see what team he plays, obviously, in mind with Burnley on Wednesday. So I think he might be tempted to bring Greaves in for this game, you know, for, you know, the height and set pieces and whatnot.
Yeah, I think Greaves for Elder could be a shout. Greaves for Elder could be a shout. I mean, it would be quite harsh on Elder's. You know, it's not done too bad since coming to the team. But I think if you want to, obviously from set piece, I think Coventry are quite strong. So that'd be a shout, to be fair.
It's obviously sometimes it's harsh, but in tactical decisions, it sometimes has to be made. And I do think that with Gyökeres being on the pitch, you might want essentially a third centre-half on the pitch to help deal with him.
Just to bully him, Yeah, because he has been definitely one of the best strikers this season. Of course, Akpom, it's just annoying seeing Akpom and Forsh just tear it up at Middlesbrough. But other than that, of course, Oscar's been pretty good. But Gyökeres is one of the few in the league that's actually scored more than him. Of course, I'd be happy with an unchanged lineup, because it means Longman gets another game. Anytime we win and he started, that's good, because then everyone says, oh, you know, he should start the next game because it's part of a winning team. So I don't really think there's much else to talk about. It was a really good 3 points against West Brom, another clean sheet, and, you know, defeating that Sky Sports curse just a little bit more. And then going to be two really tough games against Coventry and Burnley. I think maybe 2-0-0s, I wouldn't be happy with that, because I want us to score some goals, but I think getting some points just on the board, maybe one win, maybe a big shock upset around this time next week would be really great. But I think that's it. Thanks very much for everyone to listen for listening and commenting, and thanks for joining me and Tom. And we'll be back next week to discuss those two tough games. So thanks again, and we'll see you next week.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.